Good evening, everybody. I'm glad you're here tonight. We're going to learn how to have no sweat living. Our Lord Jesus told us over and over in his word not to be worried about anything. So right now we're going to read Matthew 6, verse 25, where the Lord told us that. Jesus is speaking here. He said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all those things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Heavenly Father, we're here tonight to learn from your word how to stop one of the sins that most Christians never recognize, and that's the sin of worry. Open our hearts to your truth. Change our thinking. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise tonight in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I wonder if anybody here can relate to the great philosopher Irva Bombeck. She once said this, and I quote, "I've always worried a lot. And frankly, I'm pretty good at it. I worry about introducing people and going blank when I get to my mother. I worry about a shortage of ball bearings. I worry about a snake coming through the kitchen drain. I worry about the world ending at midnight and getting stuck with 3 hours on a 24-hour cold capsule. I worry about getting into the Guinness Book of World Records under pregnancy, oldest recorded birth. I worry what the dog thinks when he sees me coming out of the shower. I worry about one of my children may marry an Eskimo who will set me adrift on an iceberg when I can no longer feed myself. I worry about sales ladies following me into the fitting room. I worry about oil slicks and Carol Channing going bald. I worry about scientists discovering someday that lettuce has been fattening all along." Sometimes our worrying is carved into our bodies by sores we call ulcers. Sometimes it's etched into our faces by lines that we call wrinkle. It's seen in a frown, heard through footsteps pacing back and forth across the floor late at night. Sometimes it's muffled by the silence of simply lying in bed, staring at the ceiling without being able to sleep. Some people call it tension. Other people will call it anxiety. But Jesus calls it worry. It's amazing to me, and I hope it is to you, that the same things people worried about 2,000 years ago are still the same things that many of us worry about today. In Matthew 6:19, Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal." So often in our lives, people worry that they don't have any money. And people who do have money worry that they don't have enough money. So the poor people spend their time looking for treasure, and the rich spend their life laying it up for themselves. Jesus had said some people worry about food. In Matthew 6, verse 25, says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink." There are some people, particularly in countries other than our own, that are constantly worried where their next meal is going to come from. In fact, there are a lot of people in our country who eat as if it's their last meal every time they eat. They eat way more than they should because they're worried about the next meal. Then some people worry about their fitness. Jesus goes on in Matthew 6:25 to say, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear." He says, "Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes?" Now, I believe in physical fitness. I really do. I believe that we should try to stay in shape. But no matter how hard you and I work at staying in shape, the end result is still going to be the same. One of these days, we're going to put this body off. And so don't get so worried about it and caught up like you can stop the inevitable, because we can't. Paul Harvey once told a man he knew that the man had bought false teeth and had braces put on those teeth so that he could look young. I heard about a lady struggling with a decision whether or not to have cosmetic surgery. And she was worried that after she had cosmetic surgery, she said to her husband, "What would happen if 3 months after I had the surgery done, I died?" And the old boy thought for a minute. He said, "Well, I guess we'd have an open casket then." You're looking pretty good. So much of the stuff we worry about doesn't make sense when we just think about it just a little bit. The people that are worried about fashion, you know, even the shoes that women wear, sometimes even guys, they have to have a name brand shoe. It has to be exactly such and such a look. When they get a dress or pants or a shirt or whatever, it has to be the latest name. It has to be expensive. It has to look great. In Matthew 6:25, Jesus said, "Don't worry about what you'll wear." And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? People are so worried about the future. What's going to happen next week? I mentioned this morning in church that people can't get past the news. They got to listen to every news event that's going on because they're so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Let me ask you, did Jesus know exactly what was going to happen to you every day of your life before he ever created you in your mother's womb? He knew every word you were ever going to say. He knew every problem that was ever going to come into your life. And he's the one that's telling you, stop worrying. Start trusting. So if we're going to deal with worry and we're going to stop doing it, there's three things you really ought to know. Number one, we need to admit that worry is sinful. Now, a lot of Christians do not think worry is sinful. If I were to say to most people here tonight, "Did you worry about anything last week?" Most of us would raise our hand. Yes, we do tend to worry. So worry is kind of one of those sins, because anytime you break a commandment of the Lord, it's sin. And the Lord Jesus told us not to worry. And so every time I start to worry, it's sinful. But we think of it as a Christian sin, and so we don't worry about it. We don't worry about worry. We just think, well, that's just the way all of us are wired. I want to encourage you in this, because if I were to ask how many worried, most of us would raise our hand. If I said, "How many of you committed adultery in your heart last week?" Nobody would want to raise their hand, because we don't think of adultery as a Christian sin. But people do it. If I were to say, "How many of you stole something last week?" Nobody would want to raise their hand, because stealing is looked down on in Christian circles. But worry is not. And so we have to come to the point of saying worry is sin. A lot of people don't think of it as sin at all. But the command is clear. In Matthew 6:25, Jesus, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? So that's one time, don't worry. The second one, Matthew 6:31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? That's two times, don't worry. In Matthew 6:34, the third time, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many of us worry and fret about tomorrow, or next week, or next month, or next year? I want to tell you, the Lord tells us, don't do it. Do you know in your Bible, 365 times, the Bible says, do not worry. That's one command for every single day of every year that you ever live. Do not worry. The Greek word for worry is a combination of two smaller words, one word meaning to divide, and the other word meaning the mind. When we worry, we have a divided mind. You can't focus on what you're supposed to be doing right now when you're worried about anything. We have to have a heart of trust. In James 1:8, it says, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. I mentioned this morning about the mind, with our mind is one part of the heart. Your heart is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And what the Lord wants us to do is get not just our mind, but our will and our emotions all together in one, trusting our Lord. With our mind, most Christians trust the Lord. But with our emotions and our will, many Christians do not trust the Lord. And that's the trouble we get. That's what he's talking about, a double mind. Because your heart is more than just the mind. It's mind, will, and emotion. And we need to get all that under the Lord. Worry, again, is one of those acceptable sins in the Christian life, and it should not be. It's just as bad as any other sin we can possibly commit. So worry is one of those respectable sins, at least most of us look at it that way. But the verb for worry in verse 25, there's two different words that are used here. In verse 25, the word for worry means to stop worrying. When you get to verse 31, the tense of stop worrying changes, and it means don't start worrying. And so we've got a command to stop worrying. And if you're about to start worrying, he says, don't start it. And so we have to understand this. We need to admit the senselessness of worry. We think, really, that our worry is going to accomplish something. It's going to accomplish nothing. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So the first piece of advice Jesus gives about worry is this: become a bird watcher. How many billion birds are there on this earth? They don't store away. They don't have any place to store anything. And yet every single day of a bird's life, the Lord takes care of them. He feeds them. Now, we like to help the Lord. We've got a bird feeder out back, and we enjoy feeding them. But even if we didn't feed them, the Lord would. If he takes care of the birds, what he's saying is, if he takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of you. What would you think of a farmer that didn't feed his children, but fed his chickens? You'd say, that isn't right. Farmer can't do that. Every farmer I know feeds his children before he feeds his birds. Anybody, we'd say they were crazy if they didn't. If our Heavenly Father feeds the birds, don't you think he'll take care of you? You're worth more than many birds, Jesus said. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great poet, said, all I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. There are things we can't see that God's up to. We need to trust Him for those things. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans chapter 8, verse 32. It says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Friends, if He loved you enough to let His Son die for you, don't you think He's going to take care of your daily needs? It's a wonderful promise of God. So worry is fruitless. There's no good fruit coming from it. There's just poison fruit. In Matthew 6:27, He says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Worrying cannot add an inch to your height. It might add a little weight to your body, because a lot of times when we worry, we overeat at the same time. But it'll never lift a burden for you. It'll never change the outcome in a positive way for you. All it will do is wear you out and wear you down. So worry puts a cloud over today's blessing. If you can understand that. When you're worrying, you can't see the sunshine today because you're worrying about tomorrow. And regret's the same way. Once you have confessed your sin to the Lord, the Lord says He's washed it away. It's gone. Don't keep replaying it. The one that wants you to replay it is not the Lord. It's Satan. He loves to beat you up with yesterday and confuse you with tomorrow. Nothing else we ought to worry about. The only things we should really worry about is if you're not a Christian. Folks, you've got some things to worry about. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But a University of Michigan study determined that 60% of our worries are unwarranted. 20% have already become past activities and are completely out of our control now. 10% are so petty they don't make any difference at all anyhow. And the remaining 10%, only 4 to 5% are real and justifiable. And those we can't do anything about, half of them. So what they're saying is only 2% of the things most of us worry about really are going to make any difference in our life at all. And worry certainly will not help it. Mark Twain said, I've been through some terrible things in life, some of which actually happened. What he's saying there is many of the things we worry about give us a terrible day and they never take place. But it ruins your joy today. That's what worry is, wasting today's blessings with tomorrow's concerns. Jesus said tomorrow will do what? It'll take care of itself. Don't worry about tomorrow. Live for today. I don't know if you understand this or not, but fog. Sometimes we have deep fog in our area. Do you know that fog that will black up to 7 city blocks in a major city, 100 foot deep? You know how many ounces of water are in that fog? It's 1 8-ounce glass of water. Does all that fog, 6 square blocks in a huge city, 100 foot deep, it's 1 8-ounce glass of water split into 65 million droplets. That's what fog is. And so fog confuses us, messes us up, but worry in your life is just like fog. When you're worrying, you can't see what God's up to. When you're worrying, God won't reveal His plan. It's when we trust Him and we obey Him. Then He makes His plan clear to us. A third grade teacher was trying to teach her class about how to use fractions, and she looked at a little boy that sat in the front row, and she said, Billy, what's 3/4 of 5/16? Now, I haven't done that kind of math in a long time. I used to be pretty good at that sort of thing. But Billy's answer was, teacher, I really don't know what 3/4 of 5/16 is, but it's not enough to worry about. We need to know how to do those things, but even a little boy knows it's not worth fretting about. We need to learn the process, but we don't have to worry about it. Worry is faithless. Not only is worry fruitless, it'll never produce any good fruit. Worry is a sign of a lack of faith. In Matthew 6, verse 28, Jesus said, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these." If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? God wants us to know we don't have to worry about so many of the things we worry about. If you look at the simplest flower around us, you could take the most expensive garment you've ever had enough money to buy. If you looked at it under a microscope, you would see it. It just looks, even the best clothing, it just looks frazzled and frayed. But if you look at that flower under a microscope, even the smallest daisy, everything is perfection. All the little lines you would see are all perfectly symmetrical. The best clothes you can buy are not. And so what the Lord is saying is, if he takes care of a flower which is here today and tomorrow is gone, won't he take care of you better than anybody possibly could? So two keys I want you to take home with you tonight to overcoming worry. Jesus gets very personal and very practical here, telling us, because he does understand our nature. Our nature as human beings is to worry. We really think we can control life. And if we just get concerned enough, we can change things. I want to tell you, your life and my life are out of our control. We can't. Right now, as you sit here, again, I always go back to this because it's just fascinating to me. As we're sitting in this room right now, thinking we're sitting still, we are spinning on this globe 1,000 miles an hour around. We don't feel it, but we are. We're traveling right now around the sun at 1,000,000 miles an hour. And we're traveling through space, our whole solar system, faster than 1,000,000 miles an hour. All the objects and all the universe are flying here and there. Guess who keeps it all in control so we don't smash? It's not me, and it's not you. It's our Heavenly Father. With all that motion and all that commotion that's been going on before you were ever born, God has taken care of it all. And he's promised to get us home safe. So in order to deal with all your anxiety, all your cares, we need to look at one way, not 10 ways, not 20 ways, one way. In Matthew 6:31, Jesus said, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Instead of looking at how am I going to accomplish all my goals, we should have two goals here, Jesus said. Seek first his kingdom and what? His righteousness, and he'll take care of all the rest. We get ourselves so spread out that we don't keep our thoughts on God's kingdom and God's righteousness. So the familiar motto, first things first, the first thing for the Christian, my greatest concern should be God's kingdom. In other words, how can I be used in God's kingdom to spread the good news and God's righteousness? How can I live in such a way that my God is glorified? If we put those things first, everything else falls into proper place. But if we put first things first, and we say, my first concern is having enough money so that I can retire. What happened to God's kingdom and God's righteousness? Can't God take care of your retirement? I'm not saying be silly. I'm not saying waste all your money. We should have some plans. But that should never be our first concern. If we're supposed to retire, the Lord will supply and we'll retire. If we're supposed to work until he takes us home, guess what? He'll take care of that too. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, This is a promise to you and to me. You, talking about God, will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. As soon as I start worrying, I know one thing. I do not have my mind stayed on my faith in my Lord. I'm now trying to control things myself, or trying to manipulate him so that he'll do what I want, not what he wants. Worry will do you no good. The second thing is live one day at a time. We get so concerned with what's behind us and so concerned with what's ahead of us, we don't realize every life is lived one day at a time. In Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Not only trouble, but blessings. Every day has blessings along with the troubles. And the Lord promises us, even if we have troubles, he's promised to work everything for our good. We can trust him with the troubles. Abraham Lincoln once said, the best thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time. We don't have to worry about next month, next year, 10 years, 20 years. And I'll tell you the truth, I'm sure not worrying about 30 years because I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be gone within 30 years. I'm sure of it. The only day you ought to be concerned about, any of us, is today. I can't change yesterday. I can confess sin that happened yesterday, but then I have to let it go. I can't control tomorrow, but I can control my choices today. And if I focus on life one day at a time, this day, Jesus said tomorrow will do what? It'll take care of itself. You have to plan today, and you have to do those things today that are going to build you up for tomorrow. If we're worrying about tomorrow, we're not doing today what we need to do to get through tomorrow. When we're trusting our Lord, he knows our nows will become someday our yesterdays. There was a time 10 years ago was today, but that's 10 years ago. That's not today. And in 10 years from today, our todays are going to be our past. We learn from it, but we don't fret about it because we can't change it. We learn so that we can live for the future, but we don't worry about the future because the Lord said one day at a time is sufficient. According to a Harris poll, more than one-third of adults worry a lot about not having enough money or health insurance to take care of them in their old age. So a third of the people. But that same survey said only 10% of people worry about whether they'll go to hell or not. Folks, do you understand what he's saying? We're more concerned about insurance for our old age than we are about our eternity. I can't tell you how many people I and Dave go to, as we're calling, and they have no concern about their future in eternity. None. They don't want to talk about it. The Bible tells us if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you ought to be worried about your future. Not your future tomorrow here on this earth, but your future for eternity. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. If a person doesn't know Jesus Christ, they ought to be worried. Many people are not. It's strange, isn't it? Christians who know the Lord worry about everything here, but unsaved people who don't know the Lord don't even think about eternity. They think this is it. God gives us the promise. This is not it. After we die, we are going to face a judgment. The good news is for the Christian in Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Anybody remember what the law of sin and death says? The soul that sins, it shall die. I'm going to sin. I'm going to sin tomorrow. I'm going to sin the next week because I'm bent to sin. I have a sinful nature. But I'm not going to die because of it, because I am in Christ Jesus. All my sins are forgiven, but if I want to have fellowship with my Lord, as I do those sins, I do need to confess them. I need to be cleansed. But it has nothing to do with my eternity. My eternity in Christ is sealed because about 52 years ago, I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. When I stand before God, there will be no condemnation. All there will be is reward for good works. Do you know that exactly the opposite is true for anybody that hasn't received Christ? There will be only condemnation. There will be no reward for any good work they've ever done. And so in my concern is that people ought to be worried if they don't know Christ. For those of us that do know Christ, worry does you no good. It only messes up your today. Father, you really are in control. Help us to stop worrying and to start trusting. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.